Welcome to People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I'm your host as usual, and I'm here with Mr. Benjamin Ellis. What's up, Ben?
Hey, man, how you doing? I'm excited.
We have the original average Joe, and that is Nathan Brewer. What is up, Nate?
What's up? Is this audio only or are we video?
Well, it's recording video, but we're only going to use the audio.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I know. You'd like everybody to see that beautiful office you got.
That's but, a relief.
It's a relief. So, yeah, we are on the cusp of T4G 2020. Unfortunately, we were all supposed to be together in Louisville, Kentucky, but due to the coronavirus pandemic, the in-person conference got canceled, but we're doing this online. And so we figured, you know what, we're going to get into the act a little bit. So we have a little Zoom recording here for the podcast. And we just kind of wanted to talk through a little bit of what's going on. So Nathan, what are your thoughts of T4G? You excited?
Oh, so excited. It's going to be like the first time, basically because I have no idea what's happening or who's speaking. Even though you texted it to me. So,
yes.
I can't put it into words.
I mean, you look like you cannot contain your excitement. So,
yeah.
Very good.
That's fair. Yeah. Because I'm reading emails as you talk, but yes.
Okay, very good. He is invested. Ben, what are your thoughts on T4G 2020?
Well, first of all, I want to defend Nathan real quick. He is invested. He is just multitasking at the same time. So be generous. Generous, Chris. Come on. You can do that. I am excited. I have looked at the list of speakers, and I am excited for all of them. It's interesting. I'm excited to hear Greg Gilbert, I think, for today. I think he's on the docket for today, right? I think I'm interested to hear Greg Gilbert because I've never actually heard him speak. So I'm excited about that for today.
Yeah, of course he wrote the book the Gospel, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the Gospel, right? Through nine marks.
Yep.
This morning we got Richard Chen, early afternoon, Richard Chen, H.B. Charles, mm-hmm. Greg Gilbert, and then Dr. Moeller will finish this off this evening. Definitely looking forward to it, even though it's quite a bit different than we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. What are y'all going to miss the most about not being in person?
Guy Fieri's Smokehouse, you think?
What is it?
Guy Fieri's Smokehouse?
Guy Fieri's Smokehouse. Yeah, that's a good answer. It's a good answer.
For sure. I think one of the things that I'm going to miss is the singing, man. You know,
hey, if you could have let me finish with the real answer. I was going to say the singing and the worship, but now you've already done it. Like, I didn't do it, so now I get no credit for it whatsoever. But you go ahead. You go right ahead.
Well, Nathan, what specifically are you going to be missing about the worship?
Well, the singing, I think, more than anything. No, that's pretty, that is amazing. The times we've gone, I think the thing that overwhelmed me the most the first time we went was that just to hear so simple, but probably the most worshipful I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. The thing that struck me, I remember Nathan and I, first year we went was 2016. Ben joined us in 2018. And, just getting up there, they have the Bob Kaufman, right, led worship those 2 years. They put the words on the black screen, man, and we just sang. And that was it. Had a little, piano accompaniment, very, very basic. But like you said, man, very, very impactful. And, where you really focus on what you're singing, it's not so much about even the melodies and the harmonies as it is simply about what is being said, the lyrics that are being mentioned about the God that we serve. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to miss that. I'm curious to see if there's going to be any singing whatsoever, this year, if they're going to figure out a way to do that or not. So I guess 1 o'clock we'll find out about that. What about you, Ben?
I don't know. I think the thing that I love most about, and this is conferences in general, but I think T4G especially, is that there's so much that comes at you in the conference, just from the different speakers, from the different breakout sessions, and just the ability to be able to kind of step away from everything else that's going on and just kind of process through some of it. We kind of joked a little bit earlier, Nathan's still kind of working through emails. Like, I've got my other screen up and I'm doing emails at the same time. So it's just there's almost a sense that it's not as separate. It's not as separated. It's not as segmented away from the rest of everything else we have going on. So I think that's part of what I'm going to miss. It's just that chance of being away and being almost separate from everything else and having a chance to kind of process through in meaningful ways just everything that's going through and everything that's happening. And you know, there are guys who were speaking, like I remember last year, Kevin DeYoung spoke on the immutability of God. And I think I needed 2 days just to kind of process everything he laid out in 1 hour long block. So I feel like that's one of the things I'm going to miss most about it.
I've mentioned, you know, about that particular sermon, I mentioned it to y'all when we were there. I think I've mentioned it to folks since we've been back, but we came back that evening after we had, after he had preached on that, and my head was just kind of spinning afterwards. Man, there was so much information that he presented, you know, from the word. And we came back and we sang that simple song, man, that I had sang so many times, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and it never had the impact that it did that evening. Because right. I was thinking, this is a God that has always been and always will be the exact same. There is no changing whatsoever in this God, and we can lean and rest in his everlasting arms. And again, it just had an impact that I had really never, it had never impacted me like that before. So again, just talking through, hearing the truths from the word of God is one of the things that, you know, hopefully, you know, and I think they will, I think we'll still get that, you know, fortunately this year, it's just going to be, you know, online. But definitely the, you know, the separation of leaving, you know, whether you're driving or flying up to Kentucky, you know, being in a different setting, that definitely that separation that you're talking about, Ben, is something that I think we definitely will miss. Now, what I wanted us to do is I wanted to talk through, you know, kind of some of these books that we got. Generally, we get them one at a time. They put them in pallets, right, in the Yum Center, and we take one as we leave or as we enter. And this year, I imagine most everybody has already received their books. I know the three of us have, so I wanted to talk about that real quick. But Ben, if you would, kind of fill Nathan in, if you would, for a moment about kind of people in exile and Jeremiah 29:7, kind of what this podcast in particular is all about.
Yeah, so we kind of picked this up, and the idea behind it actually came from a guy who's normally with us, Andrew Chamberlain, which is a burden on his heart. Jeremiah 29:7. The people of Israel in exile, obviously, and Jeremiah is giving us prophecy and saying, look, just pursue the welfare of the city. And that's kind of the command that he gives to it. And the question then became, you know, how do we as a people who are living in exile, because while we're here on earth, we really are an exiled people. We're not living in our home. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, citizens of that final kingdom of God. So how do we live now? How do we pursue the welfare of the city? How do we pursue the welfare of whatever communities we're living in and whatever communities we're a part of? How do we meaningfully pursue the welfare of those communities while at the same time upholding the truth of the gospel in all those corners? So it's kind of a twofold kind of conversation that we've been having. And I think the longer that we have it, I think the more dynamic it's kind of becoming, which is really exciting along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the idea is that we still, you know, are people in exile. And one of the things, Ben and I recorded an episode a couple weeks ago, kind of when, or maybe 3 weeks ago, when this had kind of all started, and we were only able to get together as congregations, you know, via Zoom or online, and obviously missing out on a lot. But in a lot of ways, it kind of helped us to realize that we are truly in exile. You know, we've kind of been exiled to our homes or you know, privately in our offices. And so it, in a very real sense, it's kind of allowed us to take this picture that maybe conceptually we understand and kind of put it in kind of a real kind of tangible way for us to kind of feel and experience. Yet there still are ways, right, for us, each of us, as the hands and feet of Christ, to reach out to those in need. You know, you mentioned Andrew Chamberlain with Jericho Road, and obviously he's still dealing with the food ministry, the food banks, and making mm-hmm. sure that the folks in need are getting that. I know at Northcliffe this past Sunday, we had a food drive. So we mm-hmm. had the service, and then afterwards, about an hour and a half of individuals kind of coming in, just dropping off the food, you know, having that sterilized and everything, and then being able to give out here later on. So those are some of the, you know, the ways that locally, you know, certainly we've been able to kind of plug in and help some of those things. All right. So I don't think Nathan, because I didn't mention it to him, I don't think he has all of his books in front of him, but I'm sure he's got it in his head. He knows exactly which books. How many of the books have you already read through, Nate?
Oh, I think six, seven of them so far. But But it's been a week or so.
Yeah. So you're kind of a little slow, a little behind. Yeah, I got it. Well, Ben, of the books that you got there, man, are there any particular ones that maybe you picked up and say, you know what, I kind of want to work through this?
Yeah, golly, like most of them, I kind of want to work through in a meaningful way in some form or fashion. The one that I started picking up first, though, was J.I. Packer's A Question of Godliness, The Puritan's Vision of the Christian Life. And the reason I picked it up, because I picked it up actually in tandem with another book, not related to T4G at all. That's the T4G book that I picked up. But that, I have this other book that I started reading that I thought was really interesting. It's called Sacred Pathways by a guy named Gary Thomas. And the whole principle of Sacred Pathways is that God has wired us all differently. So we need to understand that on some basic levels, there are some parts of the Christian worship experience that are going to be consistent, but there are also going to be ways that God is consistently moving in different people's lives differently. And what that, and how that related to the Packer book, in my opinion, was that what Packer is outlining is really this sense of how Puritanism is a healthy resource for the Christian church in terms of its pursuit of godliness and some of the things that they did, and some of the practices that they held, and some of the things that they clung very tightly to, really helps, you know, really form out Christian maturity in meaningful kind of ways. I think that's really the first one that I started looking at as being really really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm pretty sure when Nathan and I were kind of talking on the phone when he first got these, he mentioned that book. He kind of pulled that one out and kind of set that aside and said, you know, this is one he wanted to work through. Am I speaking out of turn there, Nate, or is that accurate?
You're absolutely correct.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but man, anything written by J.I. Packer, if I can get my hands on it, I'm going to read it. I think Packer's one of those guys who just thoughtful in terms of just his theology, in terms of his philosophy, in terms of his worldview. And I just think he's so consistently solid. I don't agree with him on everything. I don't think any of us agree with everybody on everything, But I mean, just so solid and so thoughtful and such a guy who obviously has a significant love for God and wants to see that godliness and holiness in the church. And I just don't see a reason that shouldn't be something that we can appreciate, even if we don't agree with everything that comes along with how he approaches that.
Well, I mean, you're a big C.S. Lewis fan. You love some C.S. Lewis.
I do indeed.
Certainly, you would say the same thing about him. There's certainly things that you know, in his theology that you would disagree with.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, just a little bit of insight. So Nathan and I, we used to work together, and we still work together in some ways. Anyhow, we used to see each other every single day, work in the same office. And so we decided, I don't know, man, several years ago, instead of just kind of doing the same old thing, man, your hair is getting long. Anyway, instead of
what did you say?
Instead, your hair is getting long.
Well, no one's around to cut it. You can't get a haircut. So.
Anyways,
wearing a hat.
We decided we wanted to start reading through some good, you know, Christian books, read through the Bible together, and then what we would do at lunchtime, spend an hour and a half, man. We had the opportunity to spend between an hour, hour and a half every single day talking through some of those things. One of the books that we worked through was Knowing God. And, that's something that certainly helped us. And that's, of course, a J.I. Packer book that helped us, immensely, in our Christian growth. Anything else you wanted to mention there, Nate?
That book helped me crystallize my concept of hell more than any other book. Mm. I thought that portion of that book was the best, explanation and insight into that I've ever read or heard. So, yeah, as soon as I saw any book that has Packer on it, definitely getting set to the side.
Yeah. Now, John Piper was one of the books that we got, Expository Exaltation. And really, the reason I wanted to mention that, it's Christian Preaching as Worship is that book there that they gave out as one of the books. But he also wrote a book, which I thought was pretty amazing, on the coronavirus, called Coronavirus in Christ. He actually released that free download PDF, and it's mm-hmm. also a free audio book that he reads through. I think it's 112 pages, so it's not a lengthy book, but certainly a right on topic of, you know, what I think a lot of individuals now to know that, again, that God we were speaking about earlier, who never changes, is a God that we still serve, you know, today. So that's something mm-hmm. that is available for anybody there as well. Yeah, there's a book by Richard Chin here. He's the first speaker today, called Captivated by Christ, Seeing Jesus Clearly in the Book of Colossians. And so definitely that's one I think we'll try to get through at some point. You know, one of the things, I think they give a good spread of different topics. Also give, you know, one of the is Christ-centered exposition. This is Exalting Jesus in Jeremiah and Lamentations.
I was excited about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can get an Old Testament, commentary, man, I think I'm going to jump all over that for sure.
Yeah, I think they gave away, didn't they give Exodus last year or last, in 18?
Right. Yeah, there was one, an Old Testament one, I believe they did give away. I think you're right. The other that jumped out at me, you had two by Ligon Duncan. One was When Pain is Real and God Seems Silent. And that's actually just two sermons that he preached on Psalm 88 and Psalm 89. So that's kind of neat there. And then another one by him was, Does God Care How We Worship? Also Ligon Duncan. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. One of the things we do, and again, not because it's not a competition or anything like that, but one of the things as we come out of these conferences, especially T4G, what we like to do is kind of go through and, you know, who was most impactful to you? And I think all of us agreed that in 2018, that Ligon Duncan kind of came out on top there. Is that right, Nate? Am I remembering correctly?
I agree with that statement. I don't know, that was because Kevin DeYoung would have been right there too, I
believe. Oh, right.
Lincoln was the call to holiness, right? I mean, that was, wasn't that the sermon?
Who was that? Lincoln?
Yeah, Lincoln Duncan's.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah,
and I think too, that was one of those just kind of things that was a cultural moment too, because that was when we were dealing with a lot of the sort of racial issues that are coming up to the forefront, and even within the church, really beginning to meaningfully see some conversations that were not dividing the church per se, but I think we're certainly trying to force us into a conversation that we needed to have as a church, not local church family, but as a church family as a whole, as a universal church family, saying, how do we make sure that we're treating each other well? And I think that was kind of the precipitous thing that pushed Ligon in that way and really kind of forced a lot of that conversation.
There's another book,
In Our Holiness. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Holiness.
Pulling up his notes, bro.
Yeah, man. The first hole was WHOLE.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I remember that now. Yes, very good. And I should have pulled my notes. That would have been a good idea. Nice. Is that one note?
No one told me. So.
Is that one note or?
What's that?
What do you use? What's the program you use to keep all your notes?
Oh, Evernote.
That's what it is. Very cool. But I was just mentioning, you know, there's a lot of different types of books that they have here. There's one on gender ideology, obviously, a big topic of discussion at this point. You got one from Nine Marks on prayer as well. Anyhow, any others that stand out, Ben, that you wanted to mention?
The one that I thought was a really interesting grab, believe it or not, is The Inspiration and Authority of the Bible, by B.B. Warfield. And B.B. Warfield, man, is just old school Southern Baptist. Like, he is, yes, that's the one, Chris. That's it. Yeah, just like that. Yeah. B.B. Warfield, man, is just old school Southern Baptist. And I thought that was really cool. The other one that I thought was really interesting, and I'm looking at getting into it eventually, was Marvin Olansky's Reforming Journalism. Mm-hmm. That one, yeah. So I just thought that was I think that's going to be interesting for as someone who doesn't do it right now but wants to at some point in his life start writing a little more publicly than I do. I just thought that was a really interesting, it's an interesting grab, it's an interesting perspective to really begin to, you know, again, haven't read page one of the book, so I know nothing about it, but just the concept of it, the concept of helping journalism, helping maybe even from a broader perspective, helping how we publish, as a church, be meaningful not only to us internally, but to publish in such a way and to write in such a way that we're actually reaching a broader community with Christian values, Christian ethics, and most importantly, with the gospel. So,
yeah. The last one that I'll mention is Al Mohler. He gave out the Apostles' Creed, one of his new books as well. With that being said, I wanted to mention last night he did do a pre-conference online, so we were able to at least have one pre-conference last night, and it was an Ask Anything that he did. My favorite question from his Ask Anything was somebody asked him, who is your favorite, Ligon Duncan or Mark Dever? So that was pretty funny. But his response was yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he gave a classic non-answer.
That's right. Yeah, and as Ben and I were talking before we started recording, it is called Ask Anything, not necessarily Answer Anything.
Anything.
But
I wonder if that person felt like the Pharisees questioning Jesus a little bit in that moment.
Yeah, trying to trick him.
You got it. Angle him. That's not gonna happen.
That's right. Ben, one of the things that I obviously stood out to you as we were kind of texting a little bit last night throughout that was, you know, somebody asked him, hey, you know, as far as, you know, why should I go and get a seminary education? And I know, you know, Nathan, well, I know you already have a seminary education, Ben, but one consideration that you have is moving forward to, you know, to a doctoral program. And then I know you were contemplating, you know, Nathan has his Juris Doctor, is an attorney, practicing attorney, but was considering going to back to school, you know, a seminary. So one of the questions that was asked of him is, you know, why should I consider an education? And, you know, he basically said, well, I don't see any negatives for it. There's no bad reasons to go. You know, I can't think of any. And then he gave a few positives. And one of the things he said is, you know, if you have the opportunity, if God's given you the opportunity, you have the time, you know, resources, so on and so forth, you know, there's really no reason not to take advantage of that. And then Ben's response was, does that mean that I need to move forward with my doctorate program?
Yeah, I've kind of been putting that on a back burner for a lot of different reasons, but it's just one of those things where it's like it's been something that I've wanted to do. It's something I feel passionate about, and I feel like it's one of those things that I'm gifted to do. I'm not the best writer in the entire world as far as from a technical perspective, but that level of conversation and that level of desire to engage on that level academically, intellectually is something I'm wired for. It's the kind of questions that I ask in my own life. Not that, you know, and that's so it's one of those things that really kind of resonated with me. I think that the line that I thought was most interesting in Mohler's answer to that question last night was this. He says, there used to be a time when the pastor of a church was one of the most highly educated people in the life of that church. And obviously he wasn't being an intellectual snob or anything like that. He wasn't trying to put anybody from a lay perspective in the lay part of the church down. He was just pointing out that
factually
the pastor used to be the person with the highest education, and there should be a demand that be a rigorous education. We ought to want our pastors to have fought with deep ideas and to struggle through deeply with the concerns of the word and concerns of truth and who God is and how that impacts every facet of our daily lives. And if we don't desire that from our pastors, if we're not desiring that, we're not going to get it. And if we're not getting that, what are we getting? You know, I don't mean this negatively, because there's great value in being able to relate to people, to all people, right? I mean, Paul makes that very clear in his letters. You know, I've become all things to all men so that I might win some, you know? So there's that aspect of it. But at the same time, it's like, how are you going to answer all the questions of all those people unless you've dug deeply into the Word of God? You know, at the same time, Paul was saying, I've become all things to all people. We're looking at probably the apostle who had the highest level of education, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Peter and the guys were all fishermen. I mean, Luke was a doctor. I mean, so he probably had a high level of education. But Paul was the guy who was out on the front lines as a missionary, but also a formally trained Pharisee. If we take church tradition seriously, by Gamaliel, who is one of the highest and most respected Pharisees in the Pharisaical system, rabbinic system at that time, you know, there's a sense in which Paul wrestled deeply with, and but at the same time associated with every person on every level.
Yeah.
And I just think that from Moeller's perspective, and I think it's a solid perspective, why aren't we asking for pastors who have dealt deeply and rigorously with some of the hardest questions on the face of the planet?
And Nathan, I'm gonna ask you, you know, your thought on going to seminary and why you were considering going back in a moment. But before I did that, I wanted to mention, Ben, you know, back to what you were saying yesterday, I was actually going back and I looked at 2018, the one of the panel discussions they had in for T4G. It was where Kevin DeYoung was there, Piper was there. I think Mark Dever was leading it, Ligon Duncan and Al Mohler were all there. And they were kind of just going over that day's messages a little bit. And that's the day that Kevin DeYoung had actually preached, you know, on the immutability of God. And there was Piper basically said, yeah, I think, you know, you only need to go to this point. I think that's enough for your congregation. I don't know that you need to go beyond that. You know, from an academic standpoint, you know, he's saying that was probably sufficient. At the same time, he also said, you know, I do think it is wise for you as a preacher, as a pastor of a congregation, to preach over your congregation's head every once in a while. And to which Mark Dever then said, yeah, I console myself with that thought all the time of doing that. But, you know, I do think there's a sense in challenging, right? Pulling your congregation up, bringing them up with these deep thoughts about God. So I think there's a sense of doing that. And like you said, it's certainly, you know, a theological education can certainly aid in that. Now, from a lay perspective, Nathan, you were considering moving back or going back to school. What was the thought at that point?
Well, first, I would just like to thank you guys for bringing this full circle and making me feel like C.J. Mahaney back in 2016. So I greatly appreciate that. I was thinking that time is short and that what I do for a living feels like a waste of it. And that was the thought. And since then, I've continued to do exactly what I do for a living. So I'm not really sure what else I can take that for you. But I was excited about it. And I still would be. But, you know, it's kind of like what you were talking about with what Moeller was saying. It's, I mean, when you've got all these responsibilities, it's really hard to then shift gears at this stage in life. But hey, I did get accepted by Southern Seminary. So I got that.
And
I think it last year, last T4G, I stole one of their alumni pins. So I have that too. So I just put that on a lapel and call it a day. So.
There you go. No one will never know.
No one knows who goes.
Hey, so you went to Southern. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Nah, don't say a word.
Oh man, that's good. T4G 2020 is going to be starting here in just over an hour. So to give everybody an opportunity to get some lunch before that starts, we'll go ahead and conclude this episode. As we normally do, we like to end in a word of prayer. So Nathan, as our guest, would you mind?
Oh, no, you got to be kidding.
No, thank you so much, man.
Hey, man, thank you for all the ambushes today. It's been phenomenal. And Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for my brothers. Thank you for men whose hearts burn for you. And thank you that you bring to us something like T4G, where we can proclaim the gospel in a dying world. And as the time grows short, that we could have that light burn so bright that they may know you. And I pray that you would bless this conference, even as we do it through technology, and that your spirit would go out. And we know that your word will not return void. And we just pray that your word will go out and do its work, Lord. Your name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Nathan, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Hey, Ben, thanks so much. And we'll get an opportunity to do a few more episodes in the midst of the 2020 T4G. Until then, have a wonderful day. See y'all.
See y'all.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city.